Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today's gospel is one of those stories whose point seems so obvious from a distance. A king forgives a servant an unimaginable debt, more than he could ever repay. But as soon as that servant walks out the door, he finds a fellow servant right outside who owes him only a fraction of what he originally owed the king. And instead of extending the mercy that he has received from the king, he grabs him by the throat and asks him for his payment. So when the king asks, "Should you not have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you," the answer to me seems clear. Of course he should have. Of course we should offer the same forgiveness to one another that we have received ourselves. But when it comes to the ways we actually live forgiveness, I understand why Jesus uses such an over-the-top example with this parable. Because forgiveness may be beautiful from a distance, but up close in the moments that upset our sense of fairness and justice, forgiveness is rarely easy. We know this in the smallest moments. I shared at the first service, I don't know if I should share this, but I might accidentally cut somebody off in my blind spot as I'm traveling down the highway. And in my rush and embarrassment, I'll say, "Oh, please forgive me, I'm, you know, so sorry," and they'll wave me off with grace. But then maybe 30 seconds later, someone cuts me off, and I have to slam on my brakes. I press the horn, and I make sure I look at that person with disappointment, and under my breath might even mutter, "Oh, what a terrible driver." It doesn't take long to forget grace received and start keeping score with others. Today's gospel begins with Peter asking Jesus a practical question. "Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times?" Now, Peter thinks he's being generous because in his world, forgiving three times was already considered faithful. So seven must have sounded expansive and gracious and even extravagant to Peter. But Jesus says, no, not seven times, but 77 times. Some translations even say seven times 70 times. Whatever number we hear, though, the point is clear. God's grace does not create another ledger. Peter asks for a number. Jesus tells Peter to stop counting. God's grace is not a transaction. God's grace is transformation. I think we all want to be forgiving people, don't we? But we also carry memories and moments that leave wounds that are hard to shake. Like the classmate way back in elementary school who snubbed us, or the teacher who embarrassed us, the coworker who dismissed us, the family member who insulted us, the friend who never called us back, the partner who betrayed us, the person who never apologized to us, or the person who did apologize, but whose words did not undo the pain. That is what makes forgiveness one of the very hardest things any of us can do. And yet, forgiveness stands at the very heart of who we are as a community of faith. I love what Pastor Callen says anytime he's in the pulpit or offering the announcements on a Sunday. He says, this is what it takes. He says, if you're thinking about becoming a member here at Mount Olivet, we only accept one kind of person, and that's a sinner. If you're perfect, you won't belong here. Faith is not climbing a ladder to achieve perfection. God knows none of us is perfect. And as Pastor Dixon just read in our confession from 1 John, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sin, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That is why confession matters. Week after week, confession teaches us that forgiveness begins in honesty. Honesty before God, honesty with ourselves, and honesty with one another. So the question Jesus places before Peter, or the response Jesus gives to Peter, and before all of us, he's kind of asking us the same, what would it look like to stop counting all of the things that go on back and forth in our lives and become known instead as people who live with God's forgiving grace? The Cathedral of the Pines camp theme this summer was this Bible verse: "We love because God first loved us," which means God is known in the world when we love. And we love only because God loved us first. 1 Corinthians gives us a whole litany of what that love looks like. The Apostle Paul says, "Love is patient, love is kind, it is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It keeps no record of wrongs. It bears all things. It hopes all things. It endures all things. Love never fails." This doesn't mean that love or forgiveness are simple. It doesn't mean that justice doesn't matter in our everyday lives. It does not mean that we ignore harm, that we excuse abuse, or pretend that painful things did not happen. Forgiveness is not the same as pretending. Forgiveness is not the same as forgetting. Forgiveness proclaims instead that resentment and hatred are not the places God hopes we will dwell. God does not want our wounds to become our home. Even on the cross, Jesus does not let resentment or anger or even death have the final word. From the cross, Jesus prays, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." And in that prayer, Jesus reveals the heart of the promise that God does not keep score. God sets us free, and God makes all things new. So to close, I want to share a story of forgiveness that has stayed with me since I first heard it 15 years ago. It was on the CBS News. It was one of Steve Hartman's segments. And if you know Steve Hartman, who actually I think got his start here in the cities, you know he tells incredible stories. This particular story was about a woman named Mary Johnson. And she was right here from North Minneapolis. And her only son, LaRamian Bird, had been shot and killed in 1993 during an argument at a party. LaRamian was 20 years old, and the person who killed him, named O'Shea Israel, was only 16. Mary, of course, wanted justice. She admitted that she saw O'Shea as an animal who deserved to be caged, and he really was. He was tried as an adult, even though he was just 16. He was sentenced to more than 25 years in prison, and he ended up serving maybe, 17 of those years. But while he was still in prison, Mary decided she wanted to meet him. She was a Christian, she said very openly, and she felt compelled to discover whether forgiveness was even possible. So when they met, she said, "You don't know me, I don't know you, let's just start with right now." Now, that conversation that they had did not undo what had happened. It did not bring Mary's son back. It did not erase the grief that was so deep in Mary. It did not make justice irrelevant, but it opened a door. It opened a door that made them keep meeting. And when O'Shea was released from prison, he moved in to the very same apartment building as Mary. In fact, he moved in right next door. In reflecting on it, Mary said, "Unforgiveness is like cancer. It will eat you from the inside out." Forgiving O'Shea did not diminish what he had done. It did not make the loss smaller for Mary. But she said the forgiveness was for her. It was God's grace loosening the grip of hatred so that the future would not be held captive by such a tragic past. Well, the story between O'Shea and Mary didn't end there. Over time, they became close friends. The two of them spoke about forgiveness in prisons and churches all over the country, maybe even world. They became family. He even walked her down the aisle when she was married, and I just learned he sadly served as a pallbearer at her funeral as she died a couple of years ago. The story of Mary and O'Shea shows not a story of easy forgiveness, not a story of cheap grace, not a story of pretending the past doesn't matter. Mary and O'Shea show us the kind of forgiveness that has to be carried by God because it is too heavy for us to carry it on our own. And that is the promise at the heart of this parable today. God doesn't simply say, just try harder to forgive. No, God's forgiveness is what leads the way. Mercy and grace are not things we can conjure up with our own willpower alone. They are gifts we receive. And then slowly and often painfully, gifts we learn to pass on. Peter asked Jesus for a number. Jesus gave him an entire kingdom. Where mercy isn't measured, where forgiveness never ends, where forgiven people become forgiving people, where the future is not determined by our past, and where the love of Jesus is the only thing that ultimately has the power to make us new. Thanks be to God. Amen.